welcome to episode one of Bridget Christie Minds the Gap. This is a four-part comedy series exploring all different types of fun and girly things, like misogyny, female oppression, gender equality, the hypersexualization of our culture, the current state of feminism, and why clever women who should know better fancy Boris Johnson. Oh, God! I can hear the listeners saying, not another boring Radio 4 programme about women. And that's just the women. They've already got Woman's Hour. They don't need another 30 minutes out of the week's 168 hours of broadcasting. Well, it gets better, because not only am I a woman on Radio 4 with her own series, I'm an uneducated woman with a regional accent talking about feminism. And yes, this is what you pay your licence fee for. Richard Little John. Oh, yes, and if any Islamic fundamentalists are listening, don't worry, I am not a threat to you. Why? In many ways, I'm your ideal woman. I haven't had an education and you can't see me. And to help me explore feminism, will you please welcome one of the funniest men comedians working today, a former accountant for the Cairngorm Chairlift Company in Aviemore. He's 57 years old. This is all from his Wikipedia page, by the way. It's Fred McCauley!
Thanks, Bridget. Incidentally, I'm 56.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a 1.7% error you made there.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Fred. So, I am Bridget Christie, and I am a woman. Now, a woman is a sort of a version of a man. With a head, feet and hands, but without any testicles, penis or laryngeal prominence. In most cases. Why, you may have seen us about. I am an example of one. As well as being a woman, I'm also a comedian, wife and mother. Plus, I can scuba dive, drive a tractor, and load a 17th century musket without singeing my eyebrows. All at the same time, because I am a woman. Basically, what I'm saying to you is that I do lots of different types of things. And I mean different things to different people. So, for example, to my children, I'm an absent mother. To my husband, I am an endless source of shame and regret. And to a deep-sea diving instructor in Thailand, I am a worst-case scenario. So, what exactly is feminism and what's the point of it in 2013? This week, I'll be using an avocado, a Scottish man, and a funny-smelling waterstones to try to find out. I will also be trying to find out why lots of women reject feminism until they find out what it is and how it directly affects them in their day-to-day lives. And I will do this by cunningly pointing out to those women that they are women. Anyway, I don't know if you noticed this, right, but last year, misogyny, like shiny leggings, made an unexpected comeback, neither of which do ordinary women any favours. Now, I blame the hypersexualisation of our culture, the mainstreaming of porn, organised religions and H&M. Misogyny manifests itself in many different ways, of course. Well, like water. It can be a liquid, like GHB, or a solid, like the Republican Pat Robertson. Or it can be a vapour, like Dracula. In America, they're much more transparent with their misogyny. And Pat Robertson, you know, is a pro-life Republican and a friend of Mitt Romney's, said without any irony at all, because he's a televangelist and they don't have any.
The feminist agenda is not about equal rights for women. It's about a socialist anti-family political movement that encourages women to leave their husbands, kill their children, practice witchcraft, destroy capitalism, and become lesbians.
Robertson did actually say that. But, Fred, do you know something? On paper, that statement looks awful, but your lovely Scottish lilt makes it sound perfectly acceptable.
Oh, thanks, Bridget. It is acceptable.
All right, right. We're much more subtle in this country with our misogyny. You're probably not even aware of it, right? But it's everywhere, all around us, all the time. Like rats, God, and horse meat. I wasn't fully aware of this undercurrent of sexism until something happened to me in a bookshop this year involving Mary Wollstonecraft's seminal works and a combination of gases, including nitrogen, carbon dioxide and hydrogen sulfide. What follows now is a reconstruction of that day's events using CCTV and witness statements. A man, Fred McCauley, will be playing the part of man. No men were harmed in the making of this reconstruction. What happens next really happened, right? Nothing's been embellished or exaggerated for comic effect. There's no comedy in it. So, a North London bookshop. Oh, and Fred, please try not to make this man sound as reasonable as you made Pat Robertson sound, because you ruined that bit, really. You just have to remember that the guy in the bookshop is slightly hostile.
Oh, yes.
All right?
Yep.
OK. Hello. Do you have A Vindication of the Rights of Woman, please, by Mary Wollstonecraft?
What?
Wollstonecraft. Mary Wollstonecraft, the inventor of modern feminism. Do you have her book, please?
What's the book called?
A Vindication of the Rights of Woman.
How do you spell it?
How do I spell what? A Vindication or Wollstonecraft? Well, Wollstonecraft. W-O-L...
No, we don't have that. It's not in the database. We don't have anything by this A. Mary Wollstonecraft character.
No, not A. Mary Wollstonecraft. Mary Wollstonecraft. The book is called A Vindication of the... Oh, don't worry about it.
I'm not worried.
Good. Do you have A Room of One's Own, please, by Virginia Woolf?
Who?
Virginia Woolf.
Never heard of them.
Them? She's a writer, Virginia Woolf. You've never heard of Virginia Woolf. Is this a bookshop, or have I walked into a fishmonger's by mistake?
I hate fish.
What?
I hate fish. The look of it, the smell
of it. I don't care if you like fish or not. I'm a feminist. Have you got anything by Virginia Woolf?
How do you spell it?
Oh, God. What, Woolf? Do you know, as in... Ow! Ow! Oh, what do wolves do?
Oh!
Yes, that...
Is that why you booked me? For the wolf noise? Wolf's not in the database either. We don't have anything by this Virginia Woolf. Woolf. Nothing.
Well, I refuse to believe that. Look, listen, don't worry about helping me. I'll get them myself. Where's your women's studies section, please?
The what?
The women's studies section.
How do you spell...
Don't even... Have you got a problem with words that begin with W-O?
No, I like the Wombles. Listen, if there is a women's section, it'll be upstairs.
Right, thank you. Thank you very much for all your help.
Oh, no bother.
Fred, you just did all that in your own voice again. You've got to try and give him some... You know...
Okay, I understand. I've got it now.
Right, OK. So I went upstairs. There was no women's section. It was all Hitler and cookery up there! Then a female shop assistant told me the women's section was downstairs. Downstairs, I said. Downstairs? I said, that Scottish man, he told me it was up here. He hadn't heard of Virginia Woolf. Is he all right? She said, yeah. He's all right. He's just a bit of an illiterate. Now, I know that doesn't sound like much of an insult, but in bookshop circles, that's pretty much the worst thing you can say about someone. Anyway, on my way downstairs, I saw the guy standing in the women's studies section. And when he saw me, he looked really sheepish, like a dog who's just lapped up a tray of congealed fat, boiled water and washing up liquid. And enjoyed it. Then this man sort of crept off. And when I got to the women's section, I don't really know how to say this, especially on Radio 4, so I'm just going to have to come straight out with it. When I got to the women's study section, it was heavily cloaked in the familiar yet objectionable odour of sulphur. Or, for any lost Radio 1 listeners who've tuned in by accident, It absolutely stunk of farts! Now, I was confused at first, right? But then the penny dropped. This man, who worked in a bookshop, not only didn't know anything about feminist literature, he hadn't even noticed that they had a women's section. All he knew for sure was that this was the least populated and least important area of the shop, and therefore the safest place to break wind. And he sent me upstairs just to be rid of me. And to be fair to him, this guy needed some personal space, for his effluvium won all the prizes. It was apocalyptic. I truly expected to leave the bookshop to find that civilization had collapsed and crowds of zombies were roaming the streets. I could hardly breathe. His flatus had almost become matter. With the slightest change in local air pressure, this man's gas could have become a solid. And as I stood there in the women's studies section, choking, my nostrils and lungs filled with a sexist's gas. While I tried to locate Wollstonecraft's feminist manifesto, I had an epiphany. This is where feminism is today. This is what people think of the fight for equality. It's irrelevant, redundant, and pointless. Something to be farted at. No one goes to the women's studies section anymore. Not now, in 2013. There's no need for it, is there? That's all done now, isn't it? Women can vote and vajazzle at vomit at weekends now, can't they? They are free to do anything they like. That man thought,
I'll be safe here. In the unpopular, unfashionable and underselling area where I will do all my day's farts without fear of anybody turning up.
Look, it's not this man's fault. Lots of people today think feminism is done and dusted, irrelevant and obsolete, like the diaphragm, Burberry or MySpace. And for a lot of teenage girls, feminism is like their parents turning up at a nightclub. Ridiculous, embarrassing, and likely to get itself locked in a cubicle. They think feminists are all a bunch of butch, humourless, man-hating lesbians who stomp around academia in their Dr. Martens, using words like intersectionality and drawing trousers on ladies' toilet signs. The only feminist they know about is Millie Tant from Viz, who has arguably done more to put feminism on the map than Germaine Greer. I mean, how many men have read The Female Eunuch and how many men have read Viz? Exactly! But feminism's very simple. I'm a feminist. All that means is that I believe in equal social, economic and political rights for women. I'm also a feminist because when I go to fill up my car with petrol, I don't want to have to explain to my five-year-old son why the poor lady on the front page of the Sunday Sport, thoughtfully displayed at perfect toddler height, can't afford any pants. And I don't believe that these things make me self-righteous, boring or frigid. Well, my husband's to blame for that! It also doesn't mean that I hate all men. How could I possibly have met all men? Some women are ashamed of feminism, right? But being a feminist is not the same as being a racist. There is never, ever, ever any need or justification for somebody to begin a sentence with the caveat, I am not a feminist, but. Because whatever follows that is going to be something either in support of women or women's rights, okay? You never have to say, I am not a feminist, but I don't think we should stone women. I am not a feminist, but I don't agree with female genital mutilation. I am not a feminist, but I don't think that BIC should have launched a biro specifically for women called a BIC for her that comes in a series of pastel colours and is designed to fit comfortably into a woman's hand. In all the years I've been writing, writing since I was, what, 4 or 5, I have never once thought, God, this pen's uncomfortable. And the colour's all wrong for me. Well, it's a man's pen, really. How am I supposed to write with a man's pen? Why can't somebody invent a woman's pen that was easier for us to hold and came in bright colours to make us happy? I'd find writing about feminism much easier if I was using a pink, ergonomically designed, gender-specific pen. Perhaps that's why the Brontes were so rubbish at writing. Their pens were too uncomfortable and drab.
Yorkshire, 1840.
Oh, Charlotte, I'm having terrible trouble writing Heathcliff. It's my pen, you see. It doesn't fit my hand properly. I think it's because it's a man's pen. Men could hold pens so much more easily than us, can't they, Emily? Oh, dear. I don't think I will be able to finish Wuthering Heights. Not unless I can find a pen with a textured grip! Oh, Emily, I'm so glad you said that. I thought it was just me. My pen is also causing me massive probs. Poor Jane Eyre, she's so one-dimensional at the moment. I think it's because the pen that I use only comes in men's colours. If only it was pink or purple, I'm sure I could make Jane a more interesting character. Anne, how are you getting on with the tenant of Wildfell Hall?
Oh, fine, thank you. As you well know, I've always had man's hands.
What are you doing, Fred? No, no, that's completely... You just need to do your own voice, please.
Oh, fine, thank you. But as you well know, I've always had man's hands.
Yeah.
You could have got anybody to do this. I got the sleeper down to do this.
All right, that's enough. The bick for her. Whatever next for our capitalist utopia? Because that's what all this is about, you know, creating money-spinning markets for spurious things that the female consumer doesn't need anyway.
Scented oxygen. For her. Quieter thunder. For her. Less phallic-looking penises. Designed specifically for a woman's hand. For her.
Oh, I am sorry, darling. I'm just not in the mood. It's the colour of it, you see. It's just not bright enough.
Well, would it help if I coloured it in? I've got a yellow highlighter in my bag.
At some point over the last 20 years, we've lost the true and proper meaning of the word feminist, and we need to reclaim it. The problem is you've got people muddying the water, you know, like Kirsty Allsop. Kirsty Allsop is a homemade feminist, one that doesn't have to conform to any perceived notion of feminism. Her feminism doesn't even have to make any sense or work because it's homemade. And that's all that counts. Kirsty Allsop's feminism is like a knitted teapot, woolly, illogical, and can be unravelled in seconds. I'm being very hard on Kirsty Allsop, but that's only because I had a massive crush on her until she advised women up and down the country to cook your husband a lovely meal before you attempt to speak to him. Anyway, then Kirsty tried to defend this comment in an interview with the Daily Telegraph, in which she also spoke about other feminist issues. But then she broke off this interview and made the journalist wait for precisely 4 minutes while she made Ben, her partner, avocado on toast. Ben, if you're listening, you have to start making your own snacks. Kirsty is a very busy woman. She has lots of programmes to make and arguments to have with the NCT. I can help you. This is how you make avocado on toast. Quickly, Ben. Go and get a pen, Ben. A man's pen. Wash your hands using soap and water. Now, there should be a sink in your kitchen with taps on it. This is where water comes from.
Oh.
Then dry your hands with a hand towel, otherwise you'll make the bread all soggy.
Mm-hmm.
A towel is a piece of absorbent fabric or paper used for drying or wiping.
Ah.
Kirsty probably has a special homemade towel that you can use that she made by cutting up loads of different coloured towels into funny little shapes and then stitching them all together to make Kirsty's World Towel. Get some bread out of the bread bin or wherever Kirsty keeps it. It might be inside something knitted. Don't try putting a whole unsliced loaf of bread into the toaster. It won't fit.
Oh, too late.
So, when the toast pops up, Benny, OK, the toaster's mechanism spring makes a sudden noise.
Ooh.
That's how you know it's done, OK?
Uh-huh.
The toast will not say, I'm done now. Like the little gingerbread boy might. Now take the toast out of the toaster with your fingers,
oh,
which will be on your hand.
Oh.
Get an avocado. Now an avocado looks like a dark bubbly pear.
Uh-huh.
Now put the avocado on top of the toast, not underneath it,
uh-huh,
using your own hands. Uh-huh. Don't eat the stone.
No.
You can put that in the bin along with the skin. After placing the avocado on toast on a plate, eat it using your jaw and teeth. I don't want to alarm you, Benny, but if you don't swallow the avocado properly and it goes through the trachea, choking or pulmonary aspiration can occur. And then Kirsty might have to break off her interview again to save your life. I know what you're thinking, that's all very amusing, but what does an avocado have to do with feminism? Well, I'll tell you. The avocado had an ancient reputation for inducing sexual prowess in people, not in avocados. And the Aztecs, whose name for the avocado was our cattle, which means testicle, used the avocado as a sex stimulant and believed so deeply in its sexual nutrients that virgin women were forbidden to leave their houses during avocado harvest days. Of all the excuses men have used to oppress women over the years, surely one of the silliest and most ludicrous, apart from religion, is the avocado. Quetzalcoatl, I have to pop out for some ladies' things. I won't be long.
Now, do you want me to do this in an Aztec accent?
Oh, an Aztec accent. Yes, please.
Not today, you don't, love. It's harvest time. I don't want you wandering the streets on your own, not with all those avocados about. It's not safe.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, links avocados with feminism. All's not lost with British feminism, though. The tide is turning and women are starting to talk about things. There's lots of amazing, exciting British feminists doing excellent, inspiring work at the moment. When I say work, I mean complaining. There are lots of British feminists currently complaining in a truly inspiring, excellent way. So why have we had enough? Here's a few UK facts. On average, 2 women a week are killed by a male partner or former partner. 1 in 5 young men and 1 in 10 young women think that abuse or violence against women is acceptable. 400,000 women are sexually assaulted and 80,000 women are raped every year. Last year, on an average day, 230 women were turned away from Women's Aid because of funding cuts. Victims of domestic violence are now being advised to sleep in Occupy camps, in police stations and accident and emergency departments, according to domestic violence charities. And finally, we need feminism today because a man in a bookshop thinks that farting at feminist literature is okay. This man's fart, it became symbolic to me. It was the straw that broke the camel's back. It was my invasion of Poland. This man's fart wafted across the Rubicon, and that was it for me. I couldn't go back. And it perfectly summed up how people view feminism in 2013. It's something to let off at. But it isn't. We need it now more than at any other time in the last 20 years. We have to fart back. So that's what I do since the bookshop incident. I go to men's areas and I fart. I wade out into the middle of rivers where you're all fly fishing and I fart. It doesn't achieve anything except confuse you. And I nearly drowned once, but I see that as a badge of honour. Farting in a river might not sound as dangerous as throwing yourself under a horse, but as any paramedic will tell you, it is not only dangerous, it is also very silly. Silly? Silly? I said, it might seem silly to you, mate, but women's rights are worth farting for.
Actually, Bridget.
Yes,
sorry
yes.
to interrupt, but I think the world fly fishing champion is a woman.
Oh, shut up, Fred, I'm building to the end.
Sorry.
Women, don't be silent tolerators, tutting your way through misogyny. And if you think that Bic selling pens for women is a trivial thing to be annoyed about when there are very real and very serious crimes against women being committed every minute of every day, then you're wrong. As a comedian writing a comedy show about feminism, the importance of the Bic for her cannot and will not be underestimated. And there's a link between casual misogyny and serious crimes against women because it's all coming from the same place. Think of it like this. Every time you're sexually harassed at work and you don't stand up for yourself or make an official complaint, George Galloway is allowed to tell us what he thinks constitutes rape. Every time you break off an interview about feminism to make your husband avocado on toast, your male colleague is paid more than you for doing the same job. And finally, if you go into a bookshop and the women's section smells of farts, and you don't then go and fart in a man's area, Nadine Dorris says something. I can't do it all myself. I only have so much gas in me. Sisters, if every woman on the planet farted at the same time, that single, united, glorious sound would drown out the noise of every stupid sexist comment and misogynist joke ever made. Thank you and good night.
Bridget Christie Minds the Gap was written and presented by Bridget Christie and featured Fred McCauley. The producer was Alison Vernon-Smith.
What an excellent specimen of humanity that Bridget Christie is. Next week, she discusses women and their bodies. Oh, my name's Jessica Fostercue, if you'd forgotten. And at the beginning of the show, I don't know if you were listening, but I promised all sorts of things and we actually haven't had time, have we, for me to teach you any Zumba or, whether I was going to do some pineapple recipes. Oh, it's very lovely with star anise, actually. Oh, crumbs. Maybe I should prioritise a joke. I did say there'd be loads of jokes. What do you get if you put a comedian in a party without any other comedians to talk to in an alternate universe where comedy isn't really a thing? A load.